Glory to the name of Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's now just a little over a week from Christmas. And at this time of the year, the church usually has a Sunday called the Name of Jesus Sunday. And why do we do that? Well, because Jesus officially, his parents gave him his name around a week or so after his birth. Namely, 8 days. Let's take a look here in Luke chapter 2, what we read, verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So 8 days after his birth, according to God's command, through the angel, he received officially his name, Jesus, from his parents, according to the custom of the Jews, to give name the name at 8 days. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you love the name of Jesus? Amen. Let's talk about why we love it so much, what is so wonderful about it, and why is the world always so up in arms over it? I mean, if you go into a room and everybody's getting along, right? And then you mention the name of Jesus, what happens to the room? Boom, instantly divided, isn't it? Between those who love the name and those who hate it. Just consider if you're at work, right? Everybody's getting along. You mention the name Jesus, and all of a sudden, there's great power in the room, great contention, right? Between those who love it and those who hate it. So let's talk about why it's so wonderful, and why is the world always so up in arms over the name of Jesus and evokes such a strong reaction from everybody, one way or the other. So let's take a look at that today, and what can we say? Well, first, I think that the world, pretty much, most people, a lot of people think there's nothing in a name, right? I mean, what's a name? It's just a name, right? In America, we have Billy, Willie, Teddy, Fred. We don't think anything about the name. It's just a word. I'll call you this. Just don't call me late for dinner, right? Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. We don't think a whole lot about a name. Just like Shakespeare, remember, he's in Romeo and Juliet, and Romeo's pining away for his love, Juliet, and she has a different last name than he has, and he's all upset because the two families are at war with each other, and he can't marry her. And he says, "Oh, Juliet, right? What's in a name? A rose by another name would smell as sweet." In other words, is there anything really in it? Is it just a word? The world thinks that our names are just a word, and that's largely our culture, Western culture. Johnny, Willie, Teddy, Fred, it doesn't make any difference. Just don't call me late for dinner, right? But when it comes to God, you know, is that really so, that a name is not important? Let's take a look. God says names are actually important, really important, very important. Let's take a look, see if we can prove that by the scriptures. Going back way here to the beginning, God created Adam, right? Took him and put him in the garden. And it says, for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. What was the first thing Adam did? He named the animals, right? The very first thing he does. That's powerful. And then we read there, shouldn't have closed the Bible because I'm going to go back to it again here, right? God created the woman, his wife, and it says, he brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So the name woman in the Bible is Isha, which means wife or woman. So he names her. And then after they sinned, of course, there in Genesis 3, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And so that's pretty cool, isn't it? And her name actually means she's a mother, and her name Eve is very close to a Hebrew word for life or living. Isn't that cool, women? That your name is really life? You're life givers. You're the mother of all living. You're our great ancestor, Eve. And then Adam's name himself. What's Adam mean? Anybody know Hebrew? It means man. It also is a word that means earth. So out of the ground he was taken. Here's Adam of the earth. Here's Eve, the mother of all living, right? All the animals are named. What's another name in the Bible we could look at, since this is kind of fun? Over here in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you, right? Abram. What does Abram mean, according to Hebrew? Father is his name. Let's turn over just a few chapters later. God changes his name. Genesis 17, God says he would make a covenant with Abram. And he says, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. What does Abraham mean? Father of many. Isn't that cool? His name corresponds to something about his identity and his person and who he is. That's amazing. We could also look over, let's look at Genesis 32. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Jacob had his name Jacob for most a good part of his life. One night, he was at a ford by the river Jabbok, a little riverlet. He'd sent his family across, and Jacob was left there all alone. And a man came and wrestled with him in the night, and they contended all the way until the morning. Just as dawn was breaking, the man asked to be let go. And Jacob says, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. And then the man says to Jacob, what is your name? And Jacob tells it to him, and he says, no longer shall you be termed Jacob, but your name shall be Israel, for you have striven with God and men and have prevailed. So, isn't that amazing? Here's Jesus, I believe, before he's even incarnated, wrestling with Jacob in the night. And what was the blessing he gets? A new name. First time we hear of Israel in the Bible. That's fantastic. And, you know, we really don't get into this in our culture, right? Your name, do you ever think about it? Johnny Willie, Teddy Fred, you know, maybe we watch a movie like Dances with Wolves. Remember that one? Okay, I get it. He dances with a wolf. His name is Dances with Wolves. But our names don't really make a whole lot of it. Although, sometimes names do happen to go along with your occupation. Beth knew a guy in Maine, and he used to dig wells for a living. You know what his last name was? Drinkwater. It's true. You've heard of the Olympic super sprinter, Usain Bolt, right? I wouldn't want to run a race against a guy whose last name was Bolt. And I even found this guy on the internet when I was researching this. He was a urologist. He specializes in vasectomies, right? His name is Dr. Chop. Goodness. I'd be a little scared going to him. Names have a whole lot of meaning, though, with God. Benjamin means son of the right hand. Bathsheba means daughter of the oath. David is a word close to beloved. Daniel, God is my judge. Elijah means Yahweh is my God. Elisha means my God is salvation. Ezekiel means God strengthens. Gabriel means God is my strong man. Naomi, my daughter, means pleasant. Remember Saul, his name was prayed for and then got changed to Paul, which means small or humble. Simon, when Jesus met Simon, remember that? When Simon came, Jesus says to him, so you're Simon, the son of John. No longer shall you be Simon. Your name shall be Cephas, which means Peter, which means what? Rock, right? Here's Rocky. You're going to be Rock. That's cool. Wouldn't you love the God to give you that name, Rock? Do you know that in the Bible, our enemy has a name, Satan. What's that mean? Adversary. And Beelzebub is his name, Lord of Flies. And the angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9, it says they have king as king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. What is the angel of the bottomless, what's Abaddon mean? Ruin and destruction is his name. Apollyon means destroyer. This is who we're contending against, those who war against our king. And if we want to know God's name in the Bible, we get his name in Exodus 3, Yahweh, I am. But we don't get the name of that very special angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the Son of God. Because when, remember, Samson's parents met the angel of the Lord, I believe Jesus in the Old Testament, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Wow, he didn't give his name out, okay? It was not revealed then, but it has been revealed now. And what is his name? Jesus. That's his name, the angel of the Lord, the Son of God. For it says, again, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called, say it, Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So names are amazing, and Jesus' name is above every name. Why is it so wonderful to us? What does Jesus mean? Well, Jesus is a word that comes from the Greek word, Jesus. Sounds similar, right? Which comes from a Hebrew word, Yeshua, from which we get Joshua. What does Yeshua mean? That's Jesus' name in Hebrew. What does it mean? God saves. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, this name is above every name because God saves. This is the Savior. That's what Jesus means. For when the angel was telling Joseph about this, he says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name, say it, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So why is his name so wonderful to us? Not just that it means God saves, but it means that he has saved us, you and me, right? That's the wonderful thing about it, that he saves us personally. And how are you saved? It's written here. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 10. Has to do with Jesus' name, by the way. Romans 10. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and he bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how are you saved? By calling on his name, right? By calling on the name of Jesus, you're saved. And when you're baptized, you're baptized into what? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized into his name, what does that mean? You come into a new relationship with him, and his name comes upon you. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Think about marriage, for example. Beth, when she, before she got to marry me, she was just Beth Ann Rowan. She didn't have my name. She was a nobody. No, I don't say that. But no, she didn't have any real connection to me, right? But when she married me, when I joined myself to her and she to me, in that covenant, she took on my name. I gave her my name. She was no longer Beth Ann Rowan only, but Beth Ann Rowan Lesier. A new identity. She became a new person, had a new name, had a new covenant relationship, a living relationship. She came under my roof. She came under my protection, under my devotion, under my faithfulness, under my love, into my arms. And now, guess what? She is owner of all that I own. All my possessions are hers. Now she can write a check for all my whole bank account, $150, right? All the 150 were now hers. But it's so much better. When it's so much better when it comes to Jesus and coming into his name. Because when we come into him, we have everything he has. We are in a relationship. We're under his protection, under his love, under his faithfulness. And we are God's own people because you have his name. And Jesus' name protects you from the wrath to come when God judges the world. For in Revelation there, in Revelation chapter 7, the angels, there are several angels ready to come and destroy the earth. And an angel calls to the other angels and says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we've sealed the servants of our God upon their foreheads. In Revelation 14, then I looked, and lo, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. So, do you have God's name, Jesus' name, written on your foreheads? Have you believed in him? Say yes. Yes. Have you been baptized into him? Yes. Your name is written there. It says Jesus across your forehead, and the angels see it, even if you can't. That's amazing. That's really amazing. That's why, really, we shouldn't ultimately call ourselves Lutherans, even though I know people do. But Luther himself said this, I ask that my name be left silent. And people not call themselves Lutheran, but rather Christians. Who is Luther? Says Luther. The doctrine's not mine. I've been crucified for no one. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 would not suffer the Christians that the Christians should call themselves of Paul or Peter, but Christian. How should I, a poor stinking bag of worms, become so that the children of Christ are called with my unholy names? My unholy name. It shall not be, dear friends. Let us extinguish all factious names and be called Christians, whose doctrine we have. Isn't that cool? You are Christians. Your name, Jesus' name, is upon you. It's the name of our King. So, no wonder the world gets so up in arms over this, right? Remember the good old days of Robin Hood? One of my favorite old movies. I got it for Christmas, by the way. I've watched it already. Refreshing myself on Errol Flynn and such. Basil Rathbone. But, you know, the world is just like that movie. There is a true king, Richard, the Lionheart of England. And there are those who are loyal to him, but there's a usurper to the throne, an evil brother, Prince John, and he's ruling. Well, the devil is like Prince John. Jesus, like the royal King Richard, the rightful heir and throne, royal king of this world. Either you love his name or you hate his name. If you're for John, you hate Richard's name. If you're for Richard, you love his name, right? And so we're for Jesus, not for Satan. And the world is going to be divided into these two camps. Even if Satan's people don't know that he is, they're serving him. He's the villain and they're under him. Jesus says, if you are of the world, my people, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And in the end times, brother will deliver up brother and the father his child, and you'll be hated by all for my, what, name's sake. Because you bear the name of Christ, it's written upon your forehead, invisibly. The angels see it, and people feel it, even if they can't see it. The name of Jesus on your lips is powerful. And therefore the world hates you, because they're not in league with Richard the Lionheart, but with Prince John, whether they know it or not. And Jesus says, don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword, to set a man against his another, a father against his son. Because in one household, they'll be divided. One will be for me, one will be for Prince John, that is Satan. And one will be for Richard the Lionheart, that's Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, you know, no wonder we see all this contention over the name of Christ, right? Let me give you an example. Just this last month, in December, did you know that there was a school district in Kentucky that canceled a children's program on the Charlie Brown Christmas. You know why? Because of one little word at the very end. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Remember little Linus says that in the Charlie Brown? They canceled the whole thing. The whole thing. All the children all upset. Why? Because of one name, one word. Christ is in it. We can't have that, says this place in Kentucky. Do you know that in North Carolina, in Raleigh, the speaker, his name is Hackney, speaker of the house there, verbally banned Jesus' name as, quote, illegal speech. Why? Because he disinvited a pastor because the pastor would not remove from the end of his prayer in Jesus' name. If he'd just taken that out, he would have been accepted. But Jesus' name, it is a great name. It's the name of the true king. We can't have that, says this speaker. At Florida Atlantic University a few years ago, 2013, I think, there was a professor that made his students, get this, write on a piece of paper the name Jesus. He said, put it on the ground and stomp on it. Can you believe that? And one of the students, Ryan Rotella, picked up his paper, put it back on his desk and said, I'm not going to be sitting in a class having my religious rights desecrated. And the university punished him, and they suspended him from class for not stomping on the name of Jesus. What is this world coming to? This is Prince John versus Richard. This is Satan versus the true and rightful King Jesus. That's what we're looking at. And a high school track team was disqualified because of one of their runners made a, quote, gesture of thanking God once he crossed the finish line. Disqualified. They lost their medal and their goal. So, Bruce Jenner, you've heard of him? He's our culture's man of the year, right? Or our woman of the year, or whatever you want to call the guy. That's the poster child that this world loves. But Jesus' name is out. But this should all the more confirm your faith, because Jesus' name is powerful. The name of the King. And it is felt. Can't you realize that? In a world, in a room, once Jesus' name is mentioned, everybody responds in one way or another, for him or against, with power, because there's power in the name. That's why it's so wonderful to us, because it's the name of our Savior. It's powerful to heal. You remember there in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John are walking by the temple and there's a young man, or a man who's lame from birth, and Peter says, "In the name of Jesus, stand and walk," and the man leaps up and dances about the temple. Well, they got arrested for this, even back in those days. And the Pharisees said, "By what power or by what name did you do this, Peter and John?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, be it known to you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by his name, by faith in his name, this man is standing before you well. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Is that your confession? You're going to be bold like this? "By the name of Christ, I stand before you." That's what God wants us to say. Or how about this? There's power in the name to drive away our enemies. You know, at one point, Jesus, his disciples came and said, "We saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him." And Jesus says, "Don't forbid him, for he who does this won't for long be able to speak evil of me, because there's power in his name." You ever use Jesus' name to drive away the enemy, an evil spirit? You ever done that? Sometimes I've had sleep problems, or attacks in the sleep from evil spirits. You ever have that? It's more common than you think. I've known many who've had that problem, where the evil spirit actually comes upon you in your sleep, and boom, you're like pressed down and pinned down, and you can't move, and you're paralyzed. But you know what? Anytime that happens to me, which not too often, but occasionally, I'd start calling on Jesus' name. "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." And it's hard because I'm pinned down and I'm like, I can't speak. I say, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." Get stronger and boom, it flees away. It runs. And some people call this a medical thing, sleep paralysis. A lot of people have that. But you know what? One woman on the internet, I saw her, she said, "If it's a medical condition, then why does it run and flee at the name of Jesus?" Right? You can use this name, your King's name. Speak it, and evil will run away from you. They hate that name. It's the name of their doom. But it's the name of your reward. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of cold water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, he will by no means lose his reward." It's a name that has the power to save and to condemn. "For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's John 3. "And the wicked will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And we know that of Jesus' name, it said, "He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him" what? "The name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Isn't that fantastic? We're in a kingdom, friends. You are Robin Hood and his merry men. You have a royal king, Richard. That's Jesus Christ. Richard the Lionheart, Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You confess his name in this evil age when the evil tyrant Prince John, Satan, is ruling. You confess his name and God says, "That's marvelous. That's wonderful." Because when the good and loyal King Richard returns to England, when Jesus returns to this earth, you will be greatly rewarded for having been found loyal and faithful to him and confessing his name even against a great enemy. "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Jesus says, Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'll also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men will also be denied before my Father who is in heaven. And if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hooray, right? Victory. Some boast of chariots and some of horses, but we will boast of the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. So, final word, okay? Conclusion. The time to be brave is now. When you see the war raging on in our culture with respect to the name of Jesus, just take that as all the more encouragement to speak his name with courage and bravery, with loyalty. For he is Richard the Lionheart. He is Jesus. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And let's go forth to him, therefore, outside the camp, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come, his city. And through him, then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. In Jesus' name, amen.